It's Saturday, March 6th, and you're listening to The Walk-Off. I'm Dan.
I'm Noah.
And once again, we are late with our posting, and like last week, we do have a very, very good reason for it. Noah, would you like to enlighten everybody?
What happened was, Dan and I work at the same restaurant. We've worked there for quite a long time. Dan's got 3 years under his belt. I've got almost 10. And the restaurant itself's been open for 24 years. Well, we found out Wednesday that it would be closing at the end of this weekend.
For good. No
for
more.
For good. No more Islands, Laguna Hills, RIP. So, yep.
So turns out, what started as a joke last week with Dan not having a job, myself that is, actually turned out to be a reality. I'd really like to thank you for jinxing me.
Who knew I was a psychic?
Enough of that pish-posh. Let's lead off today's stories with, what do you got for me?
Well, the World Baseball Classic started.
It did.
That's pretty exciting.
It did.
Japan shut out China 4-0. Yu Darvish got the win, and that's all that really matters out of this. More importantly, though, Manny Ramirez signed the Los Angeles Dodgers. He signed a 2-year deal worth $45 million, $25 million for the first year and $20 million at the second, but he has the ability to opt out after the second year.
How do you feel about this, man?
Well, first and foremost, I need to apologize to Frank McCourt.
You probably should.
Turns out he's not broke. Maybe he's not trying to sell the Dodgers? I guess my conspiracy theory went a little awry here this week.
Yeah, well, it's too bad that you couldn't have been a psychic about that, too. You know, we could have really made some money off of your psychic abilities, but instead I don't have a job.
Yeah, well, let's move forward, because if you keep talking about that, we might not have a podcast either.
Hey, man, this is free.
Fair enough. Yeah, Manny Ramirez, it's huge for the Dodgers. I think it really changes the face of the team. You know, I think everybody on the team is going to be really excited about it. I know Matt Kemp's been publicly...
he's fired up about it.
Yeah, he's all over the ESPN talking about how much he wanted Manny back, how much he enjoyed playing with Manny, how much Manny meant to the Dodgers.
How much he helped everybody else around him, how it wasn't just Manny being Manny, it was also Manny helping people.
Yeah, I think this is going to really bode well for the Dodgers. I think you're going to see Andre Ethier hit 5 more home runs. I wouldn't be surprised if Matt Kemp does the same thing.
Jeff Kent is gone,
thankfully.
Thank God.
But Manny's going to help a lot of these guys really get good pitches to hit and get a lot of fastballs. The way I see it is you're probably going to have Kemp hit 2, Ethier hit 3, Manny hit 4. That means you really have to focus on getting Kemp and Ethier out, and you can't play around with them. You walk those guys, and Manny's going to drive them in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a big deal. It's a very big deal for the Dodgers. Now if they can go out and get some pitching, it's going to be a much bigger deal.
Yeah, let's hope that they get some pitching. Today we're talking about the National League East and how each team breaks down and who can contribute to your fantasy teams. And just like last week, at the end we're going to throw out our predictions and maybe talk about some prospects.
Sounds good to me. Go ahead, Dan. Start it up.
With that being said, let's start off with the Atlanta Braves. Their number one starter, Derek Lowe, formerly of the Dodgers. Javier Vasquez is their second starter. Jared Jurgens as their third starter. Kenshin Kawakami as their fourth starter. And as we pointed out last week, a returning Tom Glavine in the 5 spot. So who stands out here to you, Noah?
Well, I think Jared Jurgens by himself is really jumping out at me. Last year I had him on my fantasy team, and he really did good for me. He pitched efficiently and effectively at the beginning portion of the year. He fizzled it out a little bit towards the end of the year, as rookies typically do, but he still won 13 games. He still had 188 innings pitched. This guy, he has the potential to go out and win you 16 games. I think Derek Lowe also is somebody who can do the same. Realistically, top to bottom, I really like this staff. I think all these guys can help you from a fantasy standpoint. Tom Glavine in the 5-hole may potentially get you 12 wins. Maybe not someone you want to draft, but somebody that could help you later on in your season when guys are a little bit banged up.
Well, I have a question. You mentioned Derek Lowe being able to help you out, but I have a little bit of a concern with Derek Lowe. Like, what do you think about him having to face off against Johan Santana's, Ricky Nolasco's, and Cole Hamels?
Well, he did it last year with the Dodgers.
Yeah, but not to the extent that he will be this year. He's going to be facing these guys because they're within his division a lot more. So I'm just wondering how that's going to affect his chances.
You know,
he might still be able to get people out and all that stuff, but is he going to be able to get wins?
But I think what you got to do is compare the divisions. Yeah, he's got to go against Santana. Yeah, he's got to go against Cole Hamels. Yeah, he's got to go against Nolasco. But if you look at the NL West, he still won 14 games with the Dodgers last year, and he had to pitch against Lincecum, who won the Cy Young.
That's true. Brandon Webb.
Webb, who was a close second. Peavy, who could be mentioned as a top five pitcher in the league. He still had to go against some pretty tough guys. And then you forget that Aaron Cook last year also had a great year. These were all aces, and he still pulled 14 wins out on a team that didn't provide a lot of offense. My concern, though, with this team is they probably won't give him that much offense. He's going to get you 200 innings. Somebody that I'd like to talk about, though, that is kind of getting forgotten in the mix is Tim Hudson. Tim Hudson...
Isn't he hurt?
Yeah, he's banged up a little bit, but they said he should be ready by midseason. When Hudson comes back, I don't know what that's going to do to the rotation. You know, they're saying he'll be back by August. Does that mean Glavine has a job? Does that mean... I don't know who goes away in this line, in this rotation. All these guys can pitch. They all pitch well. Do they go to a six-man rotation, Dan? I don't know.
It might be helpful, you know, with Tim Hudson coming off such a serious injury and Glavine with his age. I think that'll give everybody an opportunity to get a little more rest and maybe come out and pitch more effectively.
All right. Well, do you believe that Mike Gonzalez, their closer, is someone who has the ability to go a full season and take care of business?
Well, I think last year kind of hurt his appeal. You know, he did struggle a lot coming out of the closer role. I know that Rafael Soriano had to step in for a little bit there, and I believe he was also, or Mike Gonzalez was also hurt for a little bit. So
was Soriano. Neither of those guys actually pitched a whole lot last season.
So, I mean, that's, I think, an area of concern. You know, you may want to stay away from the Braves' bullpen.
Yeah, I think in general with the Braves pitching staff, these maybe aren't elite guys, but they are guys that I wouldn't mind at the back end of my rotation when it comes to fantasy. If these guys are four or fives, if I had Derek Lowe or Javi Vasquez as four or fives in my rotation, I wouldn't be upset about that.
Right. Well, let's take a look at the lineup for the Atlanta Braves. And is anything sticking out or standing out to you other than, you know, Brian McCann?
Chipper Jones is somebody who's, you know, when healthy, is going to hit. Mm-hmm. I don't know how healthy he's going to be. He hasn't played more than 140 games this season since 2003. His age is definitely starting to show and really affect his health. Last season, he did hit .364, and he did have 22 home runs in limited time. So I think that's somebody to really look to potentially help your team out a lot. I also like Kelly Johnson, like you said in our fantasy breakdown. Last season, he did manage to hit.
He hit 12 home runs, you know, 69 RBIs last year. He had a decent year.
Yeah.
You know, and I think this year he'll be leading off, so he may have a better opportunity to score in some runs, assuming that the guys behind him can hit him in.
Right.
Unfortunately, their outfield combined had somewhere in the neighborhood of 25 home runs. Combined, that's three guys. You know, I don't know if you want to take anybody in that outfield. Even with Garrett Anderson out there, I just don't know.
I agree with you. I think in general, the Braves offense is going to leave something to be desired, and it's not a team that I really want to look to help my fantasy team stand out and be better than everyone else. Team's offense that I do like is the Florida Marlins, and that's next on our list of teams to talk about. Their lineup, to me, kind of stands out, you know, especially the meat of it, with Hanley Ramirez, Jorge Cantu, Dan Uggla, Cody Ross, all hitting right behind each other.
Mm-hmm. Nobody... Well, Ramirez coming out of the leadoff spot, I think, is a huge change that does need some attention. You know, he's gonna be going from scoring a lot of runs personally to knocking in a lot of those runs, hitting a lot of home runs. So,
yeah, I think he's got the potential to drive in 100-120 runs this year. The guys hitting in front of him are going to be kind of risky, though, with Cameron Maben and John Baker slated to be the 1 and 2 hitters. Cameron Maben has a huge upside, and he's someone I'll talk about when I reference prospects. A 5-tool player, has the ability to have a great season. John Baker, on the other hand, has been a good minor league player, plays great defense, but I don't know how often he's going to be on base. So I think that's going to be kind of rough for the Florida Marlins. But I do love Jorge Cantu and Dan Uggla hitting behind him. And Cody Ross quietly went about his business last year and had a great year, and not a lot of people realized it. He did have 22 home runs and 73 RBIs in limited time. I guess unlimited. He played 145 games, but he only got 461 at-bats. So,
which is, you know, those numbers are pretty good considering all that stuff. I think this offense is going to really complement their rotation. You know, you've got Ricky Nolasco, Josh Johnson, Chris Volstead, a healthy Anibal Sanchez coming back, and an Andrew Miller, who's got a huge upside to him. I mean, what's not to like about this Marlins team?
You know, this Marlins team really fits my...
Your mold.
Yeah, my mold.
Your style
as,
of doing things.
I like that this Marlins team has a ton of upside. They've got a minor league system full of talent, tons of guys that have the ability to really come out and help out. You know, somebody like a Chris Volstead. Last year, Chris Volstead almost came out of nowhere. No one really knew who he was. He got brought up late in the season. He won 6 games out of 15 starts, had an ERA of 2.88, and at times was dominant. I remember there was a game against the Dodgers. I believe he threw 8 shutout innings and looked like he could be a frontline starter at some point.
That was painful, by the way.
Yeah, that was rough to watch. But Josh Johnson has the ability to be a star in the league. You know, he's banged up last year, so he didn't get a ton of opportunity. But when he did pitch, he went 7-1, had a 3.61 ERA. Nolasco last season won 15 games. He also had 186 strikeouts. He's another of those quiet guys where nobody really realized that he was having a good season. So
now, I have to ask you about Anibal Sanchez. You know, he didn't pitch hardly at all. I don't think he pitched at all, actually.
No, he did. He had 10 starts.
Did he have 10 starts? But, I mean, he's coming off of, you know, an injury. Do you think he's worth picking up, you know, one of those guys in your back rotation? Or what do you think about this?
I think you might fortunately be able to get Anibal out of the draft. I don't think you have to worry about drafting him. If somebody does take him early in the draft, or, take him even at the back end of the draft, I'd be surprised. He's someone who you can get as a free agent more than likely. And when you do get him as a free agent, I think he has the ability to potentially pitch very well. I mean, remember a couple years ago, he was a top-of-the-line frontline starter.
He was. He threw that no-hitter.
Yeah, he did.
So
he's got the ability to. Somebody who has a lot of ability, who's finally going to get the opportunity to make a fantasy impact this year, is Matt Lindstrom, the closer for the Florida Marlins.
Yes.
You know, I like him. You know, he throws hard. He doesn't walk a ton of guys. A lot of people are concerned because he also doesn't strike out a lot of guys, considering how hard he throws. But last year, when he had the opportunity to save games, I believe he saved 5 or 6. He pitched well. I think this season he has the ability to potentially save 30, 35 games. And, you know, that's somebody who can really help your fantasy team.
Mm-hmm. I definitely agree with you. Tell me about those New York Mets.
New York Mets. Well, the New York Mets this season are going to be pretty much the same old, same old. Not a ton of changes in their lineup. You know, Jose Reyes is going to lead it off. Castillo will be 2. Wright will be 3. Beltran, 4. Delgado, 5. Ryan Church, 6. Fernando Tatis, 7. And Brian Snyder in the 8-hole. These guys are going to score runs. You know, there's not a lot that needs to be said about them. David Wright, Carlos Beltran, Carlos Delgado, all guys with a lot of power. Wright and Beltran are also going to steal bases for you. Those are frontline guys. Guys that are probably drafted in the first few rounds.
Very early.
Delgado, on the other hand, may fall.
Well, he is getting up there in age. He's got some injury concerns with him.
Well, he had a really slow start last year. People don't realize that he did have 38 home runs and 115 RBIs last season. And people forget that because of the start he had. I believe before the All-Star break, he hit under 250.
He did. He hit 248 before the All-Star break and 303 after the All-Star break.
Pretty significant difference there.
Definitely a significant difference. I mean, is this guy going to be available, you know, later on in the draft? Do you think you can hit him in free agency? Do you think people won't be scared away from this?
I think this might scare some people away. I don't think he's not going to get drafted. I really still believe that he has the opportunity to be drafted late and help teams out. Dan, what do you think? Do you think that maybe Carlos Delgado's all done?
You know, he's up there in age. He's more prone to injury. And I think first base is one of those positions that you can find somebody, whether it's on the draft or after the draft, to fill that spot. You know, it's not a second base where it's pretty scarce to find people that can contribute to your team. So I wouldn't be too concerned about it, Carlos Delgado, if you can't get him. If you can, great. Pick him up. If you can't, I wouldn't be too concerned about it.
Well, somebody I would be concerned if I can't get would be Johan Santana. This kind of leads us into talking about the rotation for the New York Mets.
Yeah, we're looking at a rotation that's got Johan Santana as the ace, John Main as the number 2 starter, Oliver Perez is the number 3, Mike Peltry number 4, and Jonathan Neese as the number 5. I mean, Johan Santana is the obvious standout in this rotation. I mean, I had him on my team last year. He helped me out a great deal. I hope to be able to get him again this year. Other than Santana, who stands out to you?
Well, first and foremost, I would like to remind people that Johan Santana last year did have an ERA of 2.53. He had a career-best ERA last year in only won 16 games, which really shows you how bad that Mets bullpen was. He should have won 20 games last year easily, and probably been that would have probably made him the Cy Young Award winner. You know, he had as good of a year, if not better, as Tim Lesicum. So keep that in mind when you're out there drafting. Johan Santana hasn't lost a step, and he is that good. As far as the rest of the rotation goes, John Main and Mike Pelfrey are guys that don't really strike out too many guys. They're going to win games because they're on the Mets, and the Mets are one of the top teams in the league. But I don't think they're going to get you a lot of points in terms of strikeouts. But they aren't going to lose you a lot of points either, because neither of them walk that many. Oliver Perez, on the other hand, he's a high-risk, high-reward. If he pitches well like he can,
he'll get you a lot of points.
He's going to strike out a lot of batters. Last year, I believe, against losing teams, Oliver Perez managed to have an ERA somewhere in the high twos. You know, against winning teams, he had ERAs in the high fours. So keep that in mind. If Oliver Perez is pitching against the Pirates,
bench him.
Start him. If he's pitching against the Cardinals, maybe you probably want to bench him.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind. This is going to be kind of a wacky rotation this year. John Neese has the opportunity to be really good. He was the pitcher of the year for the organization, and he did throw 8 shutout innings against the Braves in September. He's someone who's got a ton of upside, and we'll talk more about him later on when we get to the prospect portion of the show.
Well, let's look at that bullpen. You did mention last year their bullpen was pretty bad, wasn't able to close out a lot of these games for Johan Santana, John Main, all these other guys. It's, I think, night and day better from last year. You know, you have definite guys at the back of the bullpen. You've got J.J. Putz coming in from Seattle, K-Rod coming in from the Angels. He does have the record for single-season saves, so I don't see how this bullpen can't help these starters get more wins.
I think it will. The only concern for me is it's a better division this year than it was last year. I think K-Rod's a bit overrated. You know, he's going to have to close out a lot more one-run games. And for someone who had 62 saves last year, K-Rod wasn't dominant necessarily. No. He likes to put people on base. He likes to walk guys. He had 34 walks in 68 innings. You know,
That's half the time that...
Right. So he's that's not good for a closer. I also wonder, with all the taxation that's been put on his arm through that all those years of the Angels, I wonder how great he'll be. They do have a fallback with J.J. Puntz, who is awesome. I mean, he has a stud. I think he's more talented than K-Rod is, to be really honest with you.
Yeah, but they paid K-Rod, so they got to give him the spot. Yeah. You know, this guy is, like I said, he's the all-time single-season save record holder, you know? Like,
right.
You can't just put him in the bullpen and say, ah, sorry, you're not closing.
I still wonder if there's enough arms to get to him, though. You know, Duane Sanchez is great when he's healthy, but it's not often. Beyond that, they have a couple guys in there that just aren't really big names that may or may not help the team out. So we'll see what happens. I personally am not sure how great of a bullpen this really is. A team that does have a great bullpen, though, and used that bullpen to win a championship last year, is the Philadelphia Phillies.
The 2008 World Series winners. Unfortunately, the road to the World Series went through L.A., which I'm not very happy about.
Yeah, they put it to us pretty good.
Yeah, but you know, when you've got guys like Cole Hamels, Brett Myers, Jamie Moyer, Joe Blanton, and Kyle Kendrick in your starting rotation, you know, it's really hard to get past those guys, especially in the playoffs last year. Cole Hamels figured something out.
He was out of his mind.
Out of his mind, World Series MVP, and rightfully so.
He's got a ton of upside. Cole Hamels is somebody who's not going to walk a lot of people, is going to strike out a lot of people, and he's got a great bullpen behind him, and that bullpen is, I think, really the key to these guys' success. They don't have to throw 7 strong innings. Sometimes they don't even have to throw 6. If they can get through 5 1/3, they have the ability to be really good. Brad Lidge was amazing last year.
Converted every save opportunity that he had.
And then you look at Ryan Madsen, J.C. Romero, Scott Irie, Chad Durbin. You know, none of these guys are necessarily going to score you a lot of fantasy points. I don't recommend picking up any of them, besides maybe Brad Lidge. But they're going to get a lot of wins. So if you're in a league where you get rewarded for wins, these are definitely guys to look to in this rotation. Kyle Kendrick is somebody who, in 50 big league starts, has already got 21 wins. You know, that's pretty impressive, and he's young. So if he starts to figure some things out, this team could be really tough to beat.
Mm-hmm, definitely. I mean, especially with the offense that they've got down in Philadelphia also. You know, Jimmy Rollins, Shane Victorino, Chase Utley, Ryan Howard. They picked up Raul Ubañez, who I think can help their lineup. I just don't know what else I can really say about these guys.
You know, when you look at that lineup, I really believe they are strong. I don't necessarily understand the Raul Banez pickup. Pat Burrell wanted to stay. Pat Burrell signed for less money than Raul Banez did. And Pat Burrell was right-handed. The problem with this lineup now is you've got Utley, Howard, and Banez, all of which are lefties, all of them hitting consecutively. There's not a lot of change in that lineup. So when you go against left-handed pitching, what are they going to do? You're going to have a lot of lefty-lefty matchups.
Yeah, that's a third of the lineup, but you also got to remember that Jimmy Rollins can switch hit, Shane Victorino can switch hit, and you know some guys that surprised last year, Jason Wirth, Pedro Feliz, Carlos Ruiz, they all bat right.
Right.
So, and the guys who are batting left, Chase Utley and Ryan Howard at least.
They're studs.
They're studs, so I mean, I'm not too concerned about that. Chase Utley plays second base. Go out and get him if you can. He's probably your best bet at second base.
Well, something to keep in mind, too, is surgery's went really well. They think he's going to be back within a couple weeks at the beginning of the season. And if people don't already know that, he might slide in your draft. And if you can get Chase Utley in the second round or third round, that's going to be huge for your fantasy team.
Absolutely.
Absolutely huge. So
I 100% agree with that.
I do personally believe that somebody like a Ryan Howard is someone to be careful of. Something you got to keep in mind with Ryan Howard is he strikes out a ton. Mm-hmm. He doesn't walk a lot, and he doesn't hit for a high average. Last year he did have 48 home runs and 146 RBIs.
But what's the downside to that?
He had 199 strikeouts, and he only walked 81 times.
Oof.
So something you got to keep in mind with Ryan Howard is with all the hype around him, I don't think he's your best bet at first base. If he's there, am I going to sign him? Of course, I'll go out and get him. But I'm not going to get him the first round or even the second round. Some guys are going to overpay for Ryan Howard. I recommend you not being one of those people.
Well, with that being said, let's get into the seventh inning stretch. And on March 1st, 1969, Mickey Mantle announces his retirement from Major League Baseball. He finished his career with 536 home runs and a 298 batting average in his 18 years. And I mean, Mickey Mantle, that's a big name, you know. You got to say something about that, right?
Yeah, he's a ball player. Mickey Mantle was one hell of an athlete. He really changed the face of the game. You know, being a switch hitter, you know, being probably one of the best switch hitters of all time, you know, really plays a favor for him.
And March 1st was the day that he walked away. Also, on February 28th of the year 2000, the new millennium, Daryl Strawberry is suspended for 1 year after testing positive for cocaine.
Bear in mind, it wasn't his first offense.
No, it wasn't, but I just find this funny. I think it's hilarious.
Well, steroids weren't an issue at that point, and if players were taking steroids,
it was a performance-enhancing drug.
Yeah, nobody really knew, you know. Daryl Strawberry could have said the same about cocaine, who knows?
Yeah, cocaine, not a drug.
Well,
anyway,
according to Rick James, it's one hell of a drug.
Right. Well, that's been the seventh inning stretch. Why don't you go ahead and take us into our last team here?
The Washington Nationals are the last team we're going to talk about here today. Do the Washington Nationals have a ton of talented guys that I would love in my lineup? Not really. Carlos Guzman last year had a pretty decent year. He did hit.
Christian Guzman,
I'm sorry. He did have a career year, you know, due to health. He hit 316 with 193 hits. I had him on my fantasy team, and he really did help me out. He wasn't an elite, but he was consistent. He stole bases. He scored runs. This year, he may have the opportunity to score more runs with Adam Dunn behind him and a one-year older Ryan Zimmerman. Lassie Millage is going to play center field. You know, in his first full season, he had 14 home runs and stole 24 bases. You know, and he did most of that hitting in the one or two spot. So maybe his production goes up. Adam Dunn is, you know, he's got the kind of Ryan Howard allure about him. He hits a lot of home runs, but he actually doesn't drive in a ton either. Last season, he ended up going out, and he hit 40 home runs, I believe, again. But I think he only had 100 RBIs, maybe.
Yeah, if that. Again, he's another one of those guys. He's not very patient, strikes out a lot. Huge upside, but huge downside. If you get penalized for strikeouts, you may want to shy away from an Adam Dunn.
Bear in mind, though, he does walk a lot. So that's something to really keep in mind, is he will walk more than Ryan Howard will. I actually like him a little bit more than I like Ryan Howard. He'll also have dual capability, because I believe he's going to be playing a bunch of first base this year. So those are things to keep in mind. Last season, he had 40 home runs, and he had 100 RBIs on the dot. So he consistently goes out and hits home runs, which is, I think, nice.
He mashes the ball. You can't argue that.
The rest of this lineup is, you know, okay. I know I had Jesus Flores as one of my super sleepers. Jesus Flores is a nice catcher. He's not a superstar. He's someone you can get late in the draft. Ryan Zimmerman as a third baseman. Last year had a good year, not a great. He had 14 home runs, 51 RBIs, hit .283. You know, I'm yet to see him really pan out. I know there's a lot of hype behind him, but he just seems to be an above-average ball player. So, Dan, why don't you go ahead and talk about that pitching?
The ace of the staff, John Lannon, Scott Olsen in the second starter, Daniel Cabrera as the third starter, Colin Ballester as the fourth starter, and Jordan Zimmerman as their fifth starter. What do you see here? What do you like? What don't you like?
You know, Scott Olsen and John Lannon are both good pitchers. Lannon pitched well at points last year. I had him on my fantasy team, and I really enjoyed some of his production. Neither of those guys are going to strike out a ton of batters. Cabrera's got a great arm. Enough said. That's it. He doesn't seem to ever produce. I'm not exactly sure who Cole Ballester is. And Jordan Zimmerman is a good ball player. I don't know if he's going to do much this year. Last year, when he did pitch in AAA, or in AA, I'm sorry. He had a 3.21 ERA, struck out 103 batters in 106 innings. He's got the ability to score some points, but I'm not sure if he's necessarily ready for the big leagues. Someone I do like a lot, though, that nobody's really going to pay a lot of attention to, I don't think, is Joel Hanoran, who is the closer for the Nationals. Guy's got a big arm, former Dodger prospect.
One hurts.
Yeah, of course the prospects continuously pan out. He had an ERA of 3.95, and when he did have the opportunity to close out games, he did pretty well. He saved 9 games last season. You know, he had 84 appearances, and he struck out 93. Power pitcher, going to strike out a lot of guys, isn't going to walk a ton of people. So, Dan, what do you think about the Nationals in general?
You know, I think they did get better in this offseason. Offense is a little better with Adam Dunn, some of these guys maturing. Pitching rotation is also a little better, and their bullpen got a little better. I don't think it's going to be enough to get them out of the last place slot, though. I think they may not lose 100 games this year, but I don't think that they're going to climb out of the cellar.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, with that being said, give me your predictions. Where are we at?
With this division, the way I envision this division is pretty simple. I think the Philadelphia Phillies are going to win the division. I think they're the clear-cut champion. They're the best team in the division. I think the Florida Marlins are going to be in second place. I think something the Marlins do really well is pitch, and they're going to hit for power. They've got all the pieces to be a good ball club. I think the Mets will be in third place, followed by the Braves and the Nationals. I just don't think the Braves have enough offense to compete with some of these teams, and I don't think that the Mets have enough pitching. And for whatever reason, I just don't think they can ever seem to put it together. So what do you think, Dan?
Well, I definitely have to agree with you as the defending World Series champions coming out of there, the clear-cut dominant champion of that division. I'd have to disagree with you, though. I think the Mets are going to take the second place spot. You know, they consistently choked the last 2 years, but I think that their bullpen has improved, and provided that those guys at the end of the bullpen can stay healthy, I really think they can get the job done this year and maybe even snag the wild card spot. I don't know, we'll see. But from there, I've got the Marlins taking third. They're younger, they're better. I don't think they have enough experience to get the job done. From there, I've got the Braves and the Nationals, like I said, still in last place. So with that being said, let's hear about some prospects, man. This is the part of the show where I just get to kick back and take some notes.
All right, well, talking about the prospects, I'm going to try something a little bit different this week. I'm not going to give you so much in-depth analysis about the player themselves, but I'm going to talk about their potential impact with their teams when I rank them. And I'm going to start from 5 and work my way down to 1 because, you know, I want to create that suspense. So number five on my list within this division is Jonathan Nease. He doesn't officially have this five spot with the Mets, but odds are he's got a pretty good opportunity to take that spot. Jonathan Nease, in his minor league experience, he's thrown 90 games. He has an ERA of 3.74, which is pretty impressive. In 457 innings, he struck out 420 batters. He's a guy who's not going to strike out a lot of guys. He's a control pitcher, and he really has the opportunity to break big in the rotation this year. And if he doesn't have a fantasy impact this year, I believe he will next year. The next two guys I have on the list are actually both Florida Marlins, and they're both outfielders, one of which already has a starting spot, and the other which, if you don't know his name, you will hear pretty quick. Mike Stanton is my number four. Mike Stanton is a kid who had the opportunity to play at the University of Southern California and play football and baseball, which shows you what kind of athlete he is, but he turned them both down to play with the Florida Marlins. Last season, he hit 39 home runs and had 97 RBIs in 125 games.
Wow.
Big, strong kid. He's very athletic, and he has the ability to play all of the outfield positions. This kind of versatility gives him the opportunity to possibly get in the big leagues. So I think someone like Mike Stanton could step into a role and maybe take over for Cody Ross or even Jeremy Hermida. So we'll see what happens with him. Next on my list is Cameron Maben. Cam Maben's already got a spot locked down in center field. The Marlins have stood by him. 5-tool player, played a little bit with the Tigers in 2002 before being traded over. In his first big league game, he had two hits coming off Roger Clemens. He had a single and a home run.
Wow, off Roger Clemens.
To start your big league career, not bad.
That's amazing, especially with the steroids.
Yeah, especially. The Tigers wanted him to play center field for him for the remainder of 2007, but he got banged up a little bit. 2008, he seemed to have the same issue. So, healthy in 2009, we'll see what he can do. He had a quick spot in the big leagues last season. He went 4-for-4 in one of the games. You know, so someone that does have the ability, guy absolutely flies. He's going to steal bases, and he has the ability to hit home runs. The last two on my list are Atlanta Braves. Number two is going to be Jason Hayward. He's a big lefty. He's 6'4". He's 220 pounds, and he has the ability to play all the outfield positions. He hasn't hit for a ton of power yet, but the Brave scouts believe he will. In 514 at-bats, he had 12 home runs, stole 16 bases. What really impressed me about this kid is he had 315. So he has the ability to do a little bit of everything.
Wow.
And I see him really being able to step into a role, maybe not necessarily this year, but next year. The reason I have him two on my list rather than lower, the numbers don't jump out at you, but something you got to keep in mind is the Braves are dying to find an offensive player that can spark this team.
That's true. They need that spark plug. They need that table setter.
With Garrett Anderson already having a hurt calf, this guy might have the ability to jump in right now. So we'll see what happens. Number one on my list is Tommy Hansen. Tommy Hansen's 6'6" and 210 pounds with the Braves organization, and he's just been nothing but stellar all the way through his Braves career. In 64 games, he has an ERA of 2.73. He struck out 373 batters in 323 innings. This is what's really impressed me. The opposing batting average against him is 199.
Holy cow.
So this kid's thrown 323 innings, and guys are hitting under 200 against him throughout the minor leagues. He's clearly overpowered everybody. Now, that Braves rotation is getting a little bit older. They have the potential of really breaking down. I could see Tom Glavin going down. Maybe Hudson doesn't get healthy. Maybe Lowe breaks down at some point. Maybe Vasquez breaks down at some point. He can jump into any one of those roles. So don't be surprised if you see him at the end of the season in a 4 or 5 spot, going out there and striking people out. He's one of those guys that's going to strike out a lot of batters, and he's not going to walk a ton. So
how do you spell this guy's last name? I gotta keep a lookout for this guy.
Tommy Hansen.
Tommy Hansen.
Hansson.
Son, not S-E-N.
Not S-E-N.
All right, well, that's been quite enlightening. I definitely will keep my eye on a couple of those guys, you know. Hopefully, they will be able to impact some of their teams later on this year.
This is going to lead us into the closer?
I think this is going to lead us into the closer,
all right,
my friend.
This has been the ever-popular portion of the show,
which apparently nobody ever gets to, which, by the way, this week we're way, way under our hour mark. So,
and we're going to do our best to stay right around here. I didn't get any responses on the Manny Ramirez front as far as how they felt about him or if he was being greedy. I'll be honest with you, I don't really care anymore.
I don't either. I think because of the fact that it got drug out as long as it did, nobody, including ourselves, cared up until he signed.
Yeah, there was theories that, you know, Manny Ramirez didn't want to play in spring training because he hates spring training and whatever else. But,
or
you know,
that Frank McCourt was broke. I have no idea who said that.
Someone crazy, obviously.
Yeah.
So,
which, again, we're very sorry, Mr. McCourt. Please don't press charges.
You know, with this being said, I think we're going to go ahead and
what do we got?
Just ignore this portion of the show this time around. I want to see how many of you viewers out there actually listened to the very end. So if you did get to this part of the show and you did enjoy what you heard or had any comments, questions, or concern, email us at thewalkoff@hotmail.com or you can MySpace us at where?
www.myspace.com/the_walkoff. And on an ending note, I picked up MLB 09, the show, for PlayStation 3 on Tuesday. I can't stop playing it. I'm delirious.
Game.
I'm delirious with lack of sleep because I just can't put down my controller.
Literally delirious.
It looks lifelike. It plays lifelike. If for those of you who like franchise mode, they added so many little intricacies of the game and the signings in there. How could you not like it? If you're a baseball fan,
pick it up.
Go out there, pick it up.
But it's only on the PlayStation platform.
Only on the PlayStation platform. Not like that other one. I don't even know what that game is. So
with that being said, we're going to go take our delirious selves and sit in front of our PlayStations.
And play some MLB 09 the show. This has been The Walk-Off. I'm Dan.
And I'm Noah.
Peace.